welcome, 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 and humble apologies for what you're about to hear. It's the new year. Happy New Year, guys. And one of the first things you're going to hear in the new year is the problems that Chris has had with his willy in the previous year. So that's quite disturbing. Weirdly, that story gets quite heartwarming and Chris goes all soft and emotional. It's quite beautiful. It's also quite gross. There's also a really beautiful part in this episode. It's my favourite part of any of the drunk casts. It's a little tribute. And yeah, it's lovely. Anyway, without further ado. Also, as this is the last one, tomorrow on January 3rd, I might even upload it to go up on January 2nd. Over at patreon.com/scroobiuspip, I will be uploading the Drunk Cast Hangover, which I recorded in my bed 10 minutes after waking up after this mess. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. I ramble a little bit about the post-Drunk Cast evening and then the morning and everything. Anyway, yeah. So that'll be over at patreon.com/scroobiuspip. It's only a quid. Or a dollar, so that's less than a quid. Yeah, head over there and get involved if you want some of that. Yeah, I can't delay this any further. I have to allow you to listen to the mess that is part 4 of the 2018 end of year drunk cast with Chris at Redshift Rebels on Twitter and Instagram and Stu at Stu Awiffin on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, I'll see you at the end for humble apologies. Right, we are back with part 4 of the Distraction Pieces podcast, Drunk Cast podcast. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. What do we want to go into, guys? We've had a lot of good club nights.
Yes.
Oh,
Get Kate, Wear Kate, Fly has probably been a show stealer of the year, right?
That was the one
Slam
that,
Duckworth. Yeah.
That was the one that I weren't too sure what Sam was going to play.
And we had a lot of wrestling fans in the house because it was the weekend that Progress were at Wembley. So that kind of helped. So they were there on the Sunday.
Right?
Sam's big wrestling fan. And he'd been on the podcast with me talking about wrestling. So we kind of had a big wrestling fan base there.
He knocked it out of the park.
I'm going to go and have a wee again, even though we've just started.
Well,
should we talk about the club night?
Yep. Do you want us to bring on to where we're going with this?
Yeah.
So Sam knocked it out of the park completely. And he's, we are Lizard's set, I think it's called 33 something. He's actually put a Spotify playlist up of all the songs that he played when he come down and done it. And it was all vinyl, and it was just fucking amazing. We was all just absolutely... I don't know why we'd expect anything less, because Sam's a real dude. But at the last one, we had PC Leon, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'll let Pip talk through what Leon done, but we've found out that he was a listener of Hardcore Listing and obviously a big fan of Distraction Pieces. So I think... Unfortunately, like so many of you that enjoy the highbrow, interesting, smart words from Pip and his guests, somehow kind of find yourselves listening to the bollocks that me and you talk.
Us idiots. But
oh, that was it.
I'm really gutted that I missed Sam's set that night.
He's
such a nice guy. I saw him play live probably around about August.
Yeah.
And me and my wife, not my wife, but my missus, went down and saw him play and got to hang out with him and his girlfriend. Yeah. And, man, that guy's so talented.
He's a dude, man.
He's so ridiculous.
Talented. He knows his wrestling, which is obviously a big plus
Did
for
you
me.
Do that one with Russ? Did you do that?
It was Sam, Russ and Stu Tell
This
room. It was great fun. But
I touched on the last one with Leon.
Yeah, so what happened was... I'll tell the story, and because Leah messaged me to say he was coming along, and I was kind of annoyed because I knew I wanted to bring it up on this podcast.
Just quickly, I know you've had a wee. I've not explained who he is or what he's
exactly.
Done.
It's all good. And so I had a message saying he was coming along, and I'd had a message a few weeks before, a month or so before, to say that this guy, a piece of Leon McLeod, was one of the three police officers who were the first responders on the Tower Bridge. Is it Tower Bridge or London Bridge? The London Bridge terrorist attack. And he, to commemorate that, he'd got a tattoo of one of my lyrics, which is about London. It's the end of a song called Cowboy, and it's all about London standing up and being strong. And that blew me away. I was just moved and humbled. And then it turned out he's a fan of the podcast and a fan of Hardcore Listening. Sorry. And he's him and his three colleagues have got honoured by the Queen and all sorts of other stuff. And essentially what happened on the day was they were the first three to arrive, I believe. His colleague was stabbed in the eye because this was the attack. I'm slurring because we're drunk. This was the attack that was guys essentially stabbing people. I remember it happening and being hearing of friends locked in restaurants and stuff like that. And his colleague was stabbed in the eye, and he told Leon and his other colleague to just chase after them and keep going. And they went after them and basically fought these guys with just their batons and nothing else. And it was, yeah, it's mind-blowing. It's humbling. It's
ridiculously brave. It is crazy brave. If you've ever watched a fight erupt, it's difficult enough. To know that someone's actually got a knife and they're using it with malicious intent is crazy.
It's mind-blowing. I had a thing that we discussed on the Drunk Cast previously where it was after a wrestling thing, weirdly, after talking about Sam Duckworth, that I saw two guys attacking another guy and I ended up intervening and had to talk to the police and all that. I stood there with a load of other people for a minute or so. Well, not a minute, but a good few seconds just kind of watching, because you're weirdly frozen in those situations. Yeah. And it was one of them where it was like, right, no. And not to put that on any level near this, obviously, but it was that example of what you were saying of how in those moments you kind of, it's hard to know. Like a lot of people, it's the fight or flight. You should also add
different level
to that.
Different level fight.
Exactly, that's
flight.
What I mean.
When you're watching a situation where someone's putting something on you and you have to react to it.
And even more so when your mate has fallen to it. When your mate is down and potentially.
Before that's even happened, when you're approaching a situation and everybody else is going the other way, everything in your mind is
mind-blowing.
I need to be going, why am I going this way? Because there's bad shit that way.
Like, and the fact that it was him and two mates. And then it's only him and one other mate, and it's just the two of them chasing these people and trying to fight him off. It's mind blowing, and it's humbling that he was excited to meet us. He was buzzing on the night.
Liam was such a nice person.
I mean, I understand it with me, but you two guys.
We were surprised.
Blew my mind is that he was a fan of you. Like, yeah. I understood why he was a fan of Hardcore Listening. Not someone who was going to be reserved and, you know, like introspective. Someone who, a man of action like me and Stu. When people look at me and Stu, they're like, that's an action duo there. Yeah.
If they had a problem they couldn't solve and they had to phone someone, they'd call us.
They'd call us. Two-thirds of the Justice League. And at Leave. And pretty much all Avengers Assemble is about
he's
me.
Such a nice guy.
Avengers Assemble is about me piling my dick into my pants.
And to pull it back to Chris and Ice podcast, when we had Gary from PTSD, which we spoke about earlier, it turns out Gary was at the same station as Leon.
Oh, wow.
And Leon has since reached out to Gary, and Leon is now running the London Marathon, and he's going to do his. His chosen charity is PTSD 999. And so it's just a crazy turn of events.
It's mad, mate. And I'm hopefully going to have Liam on here.
We've reached out to him as well about Hardcore Listening.
We're checking to make sure, number one, it's okay with the police force. Number two, it's okay with him, any PTSD issues and things like that. And number two, it's respectful. Like I was like, just coming immediately. And he was instantly, well, the anniversary is coming up and stuff like he wouldn't want to do anything that feels like it's exploiting it, but it's a hell of a story and it's an important, like PTSD and things like that are important things to talk about and discuss.
Aside from that, on Hardcore Listening, we've both reached out, haven't we, to make sure that he's got maybe an hour's worth of ridiculous bollocks to talk about
as well.
That was
and I think Liam, like having chatted to Liam at the, at the club. And can I say how mental it is that now at the club night, more and more people are showing up that listen. Yeah. Listen, and it's so nice because it's really
and
cool.
And listen
like,
to all the podcasts.
No, no, definitely. Like, it's really nice. Like when people come up and want to talk to you, Pip, it's always been nice. It's always felt nice as your friend to see people come up and adore you, man. And now these people are coming up and talking to me and they're vulnerable.
Imagine this.
It's awesome.
These people turning up and talking to you outside the girls' toilets that are police officers and they're there to say something nice to you.
It's a fucking nightmare, mate.
It's so unique, isn't it?
It's unique and also a nightmare because I don't want them seeing what's happening outside that or the photo booth.
I mean, I think there's nothing that we can transition better from this to than talking about Chris's broken willy. So I think we should go on to that next. I need to mention as well, I've made a note, on the Lost Drunk Cast, one of the things that was a shame that we lost was we did noise cancel karaoke.
Yeah.
And it was something I was super excited was about. Really and good. We might bring it in a future one. But I got the Bose noise cancel headphones, which sponsored the podcast. And what we did was you put them on, and then I had a mic set up there. So all we hear is you singing like a cunt.
Yeah.
And what you hear is you're singing along to music. Because I genuinely think if you sing along to music, it's different to sing along.
You've done right. What did you do?
I think you picked the best song. But what did I think I think you picked the best song, but I think that I did the best with that.
What did I do?
I can't remember. You did.
It was a really great pop. I was like gutted. I was like, wow, that's clever.
Yeah, it was a good one. I can't think. Hang on, I made a playlist. I was all organised for it, and it was a big deal. And then we couldn't release the podcast because it was fucking offensive.
It's really offensive.
Hang on, I'm going to find it. Noise cancel karaoke. So is one of the first ones there?
Oh, I don't erase you a little respect.
You did erase you a little respect.
Oh,
yeah,
man. Yeah.
And it's really like the Wheaters version. Anyway, Chris, how is your Willy?
I'd like to say it's almost functioning.
Is it almost functioning?
As a penis, it's got like maybe three out of five properties now.
Before we get into this, can I just say, Chris, I really like to say anything good about you.
Yeah.
Fair play, mate. We're going to go in on your cock here, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be at your expense.
Yeah, sure.
Props. I did check in advance if this
no,
was
no,
okay
no,
to
No, it's
go
cool,
into.
Man. Like, my dick you. Is like... it's really weird about that, about piss taking, because I sent you guys a message earlier, and I nearly sent you a message saying, if you start going at me, I'm going to punch you.
Yeah.
Because, like, this weekend's been horrible, and I've had some really
it's
weird
been a rough
shit
year,
this year.
Man.
And it's not that I'm not capable of laughing at myself. You and everyone who's listening to this, who's bothered to listen to the fifth drunk cast,
they're
knows
all capable
I'm...
of laughing.
Exactly. There's a few hundred thousand, maybe million listeners that are saying, yeah, we want to hear this.
It seems odd to offer up before we talk about your willy, but do you want to talk about anything that you've gone through this year? We don't have to.
No, it's cool, man. I'm more than happy to. We can talk about that at some point, yeah. But shall we get the dick stuff?
Please.
Do you want before or after dick?
Dick or dad?
I reckon we go dad and then dick.
Dad's dick?
If you're up for it, we don't have
either
to talk
way,
about
no, it's absolutely fine. Like, dad-wise, I lost my father.
Yeah.
For people who've listened to, obviously, Hardcore Listen, I don't know how far we got into the drunk cast, hence why we've not done it a lot this year.
Yeah.
And Stu has been a bastion of towing our business line, really, is that I lost my father.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quick and easy. No. It was slow and painful.
It's what's blown me away that you guys have said it seems trivial, but that you guys have not only had a weekly podcast, also a weekly Patreon podcast.
Yeah.
Despite all this shit going on. And podcasts aren't the be-all and end-all, but it's just it blew me away that, because all of that could have quite justifiably just gone on hold.
It's
been a fucking horrible year.
And I'll just throw in here that, you know, it wasn't like Chris was like, no, we've got to do this. It, you know, he found time to do that, but his focus was where it should be, and it was 100%. You know, he's everything was dedicated to that, and it was a sad time. It really was a sad time, and like and You know, obviously Chris and I spoke about it a lot, and I think he's been a, you know, absolute trooper with dealing with what he's got to deal with and doing the right thing. Like, absolutely admirable.
Well, thanks, Steve, but I'm far beyond grieving for it, and that's a weird thing in itself as a man,
yeah,
as well, that I've noticed. It was kind of tough because it was, I think these problems started about 3 years ago and they've just increased. And it's really weird because when my dad kind of passed away, I was kind of like, he's like one less plate to spin. And when I say it like that to people, they're like, oh, that's kind of cutthroat. And it's like, well, like my dad's had Parkinson's. He was at stage 4 when he went into hospital and he didn't leave. But my mum's had dementia. Like it was undiagnosed, but we all knew it. But it kind of is, and it definitely is Alzheimer's and vascular dementia now. It's really difficult. It's tough to juggle all those plates. And when Dad passed away, Dad was asking me to kill him, like, it, you know, varying ways a year ago. Yeah. So it was good. It was a good thing. But then you have to deal with the emotional feelings of that.
Yeah, and the emotion that of feeling of knowing that it was for the best for him.
Yeah.
I know it's something that, you and me discussed a fair bit of the conflicting emotion there, that he was clearly in a lot of pain, and it's
it's weird because I said to you, I think at one point, if I knew that in Breaking Bad when he does wrestling, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Was like, serious, like, if Dad is vegetative for another month, I'm gonna have to create a fake account to figure out how to make wrestling,
because
I'm going to have to kill him.
It's just horrible things to have to think and to have to go through.
Yeah, 100%.
To confront.
Yeah, it was weird. And it's weird because I guess when your parents get to that age, so my parents had me late. Real late.
Because you've got a brother who's 18 years older than you, right?
Yeah, man. Like, he's 54 now. And I guess there's benefits in that, but there's disadvantages. So, like, now as a 38-year-old man, a big decision for me is, will I ever want to potentially put kids through what I've been through at my age? Because I know 38 is old for some of the listeners, but others, it's real young, you know. Stu, I think you've still got your parents?
Yeah.
And you're well old.
Yeah, you're old as fuck. Exactly. Well, how old are you, mate?
I'm 45.
BC. 45 million years BC. and he's still got his parents. So
I want to kind of just chuck in as well. Obviously, I mean, number one, you absolutely smashed it at the funeral, and it was heartbreaking.
Oh shit! For all of us,
it was killer, man. It was beautiful, but
I can't remember it.
But also, I just want to kind of throw in that he was. Oh, what? We as your mates all thought of your old man. Number one, he had a Hulk Hogan moustache, which was the coolest thing.
He looks like Hulk Hogan.
He looked exactly like Hulk Hogan, so it was hugely exciting for all of us. But for me, my kind of a relationship, my brief relationship with your old man was that he was genuinely someone that I would have a weird desire to try and impress, because he was a proper bloke's bloke.
Yeah.
Like, my old man doesn't particularly build things and fix cars. Like your dad was a proper, not to say my dad isn't a proper dad, but your dad was a proper dad. Like, he's a proper, a man's man. And it was weird because that translated into later years. Because I didn't know him as you and Mark and Sema and Chris did growing up, I'd genuinely come round yours and I'd be looking down at you acting up and kind of looking over your dad going, oh, look at Chris being, oh, he's not, trying to be a grown up. Yeah. And like I'd want to be like, I'd want to, anytime I'd asked how things are going, I'd try and really big up my career and stuff to feel like a prophet, like to impress your dad, which is, it's mental to want to try and impress someone else's dad. But he was that kind of dude. He was an impressive, he was a proper grown up. So absolute dude.
Absolute
so.
Trooper. Shoe's walking out now. He's so bored about my dad dying.
My cabsy, I'm so sorry. Like, it's all right, just literally falling at this moment.
Absolutely disgraceful, but go on, mate.
Take care, mate. Shoo, love you, man.
Happy Christmas.
See you later, mate. Anyway, let's talk about your willy.
Shoo's been looking forward to this for fucking ages.
Yeah, and now we've skipped off.
So
I said, I hope that was okay to talk about, because as I said, the way you've handled it has been amazing, and he's been part of the network because he gave an introduction
Saucy George.
to. In fact, I'd like, if it's okay with you, at the end of this podcast, I'd like to sling in the intro he gave.
Oh, man.
Him and your 100%. Mum gave to the episode with Dr. Susie Gage, which he decided was pronounced as Dr. Saucy George, or gave her the name of Dr. Saucy George.
They had dyslexia that was never diagnosed, because in the 50s, how would you ever get diagnosed
with
it?
That intro has genuinely been the highlight of the whole network for my year, because him and your mum, more him and you, are in tears of laughter, and your mum's tutting at them both, at you both, as he's just cracking up trying to introduce Dr. Saucy George. So we will end the podcast with the man, the Hulkster, Bill Glasson. But yeah, anyway, what a wonderful transition. So let's talk about your Willy.
Bill's son's dick. So what do you want to know? You're so desperate to talk about it. Mate,
I'm so desperate to talk about it. Because you've told me and it's the funniest shit.
So
at what point did you know there was a problem with your Willy?
Immediately. Like most of us, we know immediately, because there's so, like, Bob Monkhouse once said that God put so many nerve endings in our genitalia, both men and women, that when we climax, we'd scream his name,
which is a great
idea. And I screamed a few choice words.
So I guess the starting point is, how did you injure your Willy?
Having a lot of fun, and I can't really get too far into it, because I'm with my girlfriend, and a girl that I am.
Believe me, has turned my year around. I've deleted a lot of jokes because of respect for. She's a lovely young lady, and I had a lot of very offensive jokes about this, but I've got rid of them. The only one I've stuck with is go on.
Go on. So, like, as harsh as my year's been, it's been made up by meeting someone, which is crazy, because I never expected that at all. And I made it.
It's been lovely to see.
I kind of made it hard for to like me, and somehow she stuck with it. Sorry, I'm struggling with a few burps here.
It's burps rather
than
emotion,
anyway,
don't worry.
Yeah, I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm a man. And basically, at some point, we realise that we enjoy, you know, as young couples do, that we like being with each other.
Yeah.
And we had too much of a good time. You know, like when you say to me at a club, stop enjoying yourself.
Chris, you're having too much fun. Yeah. It's a regular thing.
It's a regular thing that if you come to Lizards, if you expect to go there and have a great time with Pip, you're going to be really disappointed.
Damn right. I will have a photo with you and shake your hand politely, but there will be no exchange of fun.
But I want to have fun, right? It's weird because...
Last couple of Lizards, I've said goodbye to you, and you've seemed to be really like, yeah, whatever, you fucking... You seem really kind of... All right, you look like you've enjoyed yourself. I gave you a hug at the last, and you're like, oh, we're hugging, are we? I was like, all right, drunkie.
Oh, man. You see, I think that's kind of interesting about our own relationship, is that we have so many... common interests, don't we? Ridiculous amount of common interests. It's almost boring. Like when people say, "Have you listened to people on podcasts?" I'm like, "What has he said to anyone that I haven't discussed in detail?"
I've heard him say sin plenty of times, more than I ever need to. I'm not listening to that films one because he'll talk about the films he's sin.
Like, why do I want to hear that? It's not interesting. And even if their guests is interesting, I've got to listen to him talking.
I've heard plenty of that. Too much. Anyway.
Oh, man, I lost my own track.
Anyway.
Here. We were talking about my penis.
Having fun at the club night, but you also like to have fun.
Yeah. So, having fun. And that's... Anyway, it was too much fun. And things got worn down. And things split.
Wow.
I'm not even talking like so many listeners, 50% of your listeners will go, oh, this is Jacob's ladder, which is your foreskin, the little string from the chap's side. That's not what decided to give out on me.
Yep.
It was other parts around that area. But it wasn't like a Pulp Fiction kind of like blood jetting across the side of the room type thing.
Yeah.
But it was painful.
I've had a blood jetting situation.
Oh, with your nipple.
I had my pierced nipple, and it was I seen a young lady who had dreadlocks, and I got caught in my nipple and ripped it and bent it,
mate.
And it was just gushing blood. It was a yeah.
Did you carry on?
I finished the job. I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, exactly, man. You can't be rude.
So
yeah,
there was essentially some chafing, some wounding.
There was a lot of fun was had, but unfortunately, it had a price to pay.
The only insult I kept in my notes was maybe start using something other than your own tears as lubrication. That was the only one I felt that wasn't insulting to anyone other than you. But yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, yeah, so you hurt yourself, yeah. But he didn't just go away, did he?
Yeah, it wasn't just a quick fix. It wasn't from what you probably expect.
All right.
You know, it wasn't just
adjusting myself in the seat. Continue, go on.
You know, it wasn't just from sex, you know. There's plenty of other things you can be getting up to with a cheese grater.
Other than
fucking it.
Yeah.
And, sorry, your question wasn't
a quick fix. It was kind of, it got worse and worse.
We kind of thought...
So there was initial injury.
I had an injury from a partner who had, who's not with me. I think it's pretty fine to talk about, but a previous had a, a situation that resulted in an injury of myself. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to go much into it. For respect for her, but I really had an injury from a previous relationship, and so then therefore, every now and then that injury can happen again. It can
rear its ugly head.
But in this way, it went like black belt level.
Yeah,
like it was a Kuma on Street Fighter 2.
Proper ugly head.
It went for it. And I kind of figured that I could suffer it and it was painful, but I could do the manly thing of going, nah, walk it off.
You brave it out. And again, in situations where you'd have to make any such choice, it's not always the most rational
of
situations.
No, it's not.
Well, it's probably best if I pop this away.
Well, yeah. Also, yeah. You know, many of us have been there.
A new relationship as well.
Sexually intimate surroundings. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we did stop. We were kind of like, it's visibly time to end it.
To call it a day for now.
And so that's when that's the point at which the jokes start. Because like my whole experience after that was, you know, difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult. I think I've been to the doctors maybe 3 times and the STD clinic. Yeah.
Because you checked again if it was anything other, if anything had got infected and stuff like that. And it's just been a continual...
Yeah, at some point, after going to the GU clinic twice, I went back to the doctor and the doctor pointed at my dick and went, that's herpes. And that was really tough because I really struggled with that because I looked into herpes. Obviously, I had before, but then you look into the disease.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, man. Like, whether or not you've got cold sores on your mouth or you've got genital herpes, mm-hmm. by the way, for anyone listening who suffers from that, is like, that is, it's more emotionally terrifying than it is physically.
Yeah.
You can live your life with that condition.
Yeah.
But how that originally makes you feel is fucking brutal.
It's a social thing as well, isn't it? It's a perception of it.
And I think that many people can contract that unintentionally, no matter how careful you are. And I just want to say that to anyone who's ever got it now or thought they suffered from it, it's all right, it's okay.
Mm.
It doesn't make you a bad person in any way, shape or form. It's not. And you got my full support with it because it is terrifying when you think you've got it. But it's one of a sexually transmitted disease that's very easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost undetectable, like chlamydia, and that's even promoting. Well, for herpes on your genitalia, you can practice safe sex. There's no guarantee you won't get it.
Right. Yeah.
It's all right.
But it wasn't that.
It wasn't.
It was. It wasn't. Just, that. It was a literal. God. Wound as such, it was a literal injury.
It wasn't, but we had to go through that. And the surprising thing was that neither of us, me and my partner, there was no blame. We weren't having a go at each other. I think the first time I spoke to her about it, I was a little bit panicked.
I mean, it's mad because it's a new relationship.
a ship as well. That's always a nerve-wracking and tense a thing, that, just emotionally on what you let out initially or what you share about yourself. And we've discussed things like that. We've both got deeply rooted geeky tendencies and you have points of how early do I let out that I want to play that I want to go to the wrestling or all these other things. It's like, how early do I let that into a thing? And that's just parts about our personality. That's not a physical or sexual thing.
No, it's not a psychological, it's a physical preference. And that's tough. That's why it's so difficult with sex. And that's why I think things like Tinder are brilliant and also can be catastrophic in many ways. But anyway, we weren't panicked. We went to the doctors and they said it wasn't herpes.
Mm.
So all that, like, kind of like, even if it was a 24, it was literally 24 hours. And respect to me and my partner. But yeah, we did that, and then we still had to go on the process of literally trying to fix my dick, and that involved
which
creams and other doctors, and no sex, and no masturbation. And I tell you what, that's really difficult.
I mean, all joking aside, our joking thing with you as we've been growing up together is that you're the guy that masturbates an awful lot.
Yeah,
you were known for your masturbation.
100%.
Mark Irvine is known for his farting.
Yeah.
I can't speak properly. And Chris loves a wank.
I'll kill for a wank.
And Jamie's dead. That's our, that's our defining things as a group of friends. Simo's sober. There you go. That's that. That's kind of that's the defining thing.
Yeah, that's our things.
So that was as much of a thing to me. I was like, oh wow, that's not, because number one, I said, regardless of your love of masturbation in a new relationship, that's when things are most heightened sexually anyway.
I think so.
So to be like, or to prove it was heightened, thus getting the injury, and then have it kind of, all right, now there's nothing we can do.
No.
We need to wait patiently.
And do you know the magic of that? Here's what the magic of that is. And if you want to talk about
a whole hour,
if you want to talk about conservative values against liberal values, because to me, as someone who really likes doing whatever the fuck I want, really, whether or not that's drug abuse or partying or sex. I learned, and we fell in love in the period where we weren't having sex. How that's amazing insane, is that?
Right? Yeah.
Like, we really did. Like, I love it this girl. Like, I don't really, I've always seen my relationships in dog years, and most of my mates have. Like, if I'm with a girl for 3 months, that's kind of engagement level.
Right.
So to be with someone for that long when we haven't engaged in sex, that's a great thing, because you kind of get to know someone. So all those notions of not fucking because it's fine, at least you get to really know someone if you don't.
It's fascinating, man, because there is this kind of perception of celibacy or of waiting and stuff like that. And I think it's a good thing in society that there isn't, people aren't waiting because of guilt or because of fictional kind of pressures put on them or societal pressures. I do believe
so
in
good.
Sexual freedom completely.
Yeah, completely.
There's some interesting shit there in those people who were potentially sexually repressed may have also experienced some unusual things in that getting to know each other in a more intimate level, because it's a myth that sex is the most intimate thing. Sleeping next to someone is far more intimate than sex. I've had periods where I'm single where I'll sleep with some people, I'll have sex with some people, but we're not going to be waking up together and having breakfast and hanging out and all.
I don't think that's intimate. I don't think that's intimate. And I think that anyone who is listening to this, and this will verge into sexual, who thinks that intimacy is fucking, you are massively mistaken. And
it's,
also,
I need to flag, it's each to their own. People can have their own. Why I support the decriminalisation / legalisation of prostitution and things like this, because people have different limitations and values. And if someone is completely comfortable in their sexuality in that way, then I don't see why someone else should say it's illegal for you to earn from your sexuality or from all these different things.
But I think it's individual. I agree with that, and that's a different subject to intimacy.
Yeah, sure.
But I think you can be intimate in a moment, mm-hmm. and I think that it should 100% be legal. Hence why I think that sex work is work is yeah. one of the best slogans
Completely.
That I've seen in recent times from B-Ducks.
Yep.
And I think you'd have a lot as a listener to learn from what that young whippersnapper's got to say yeah. about
opening
it.
Opening up that conversation.
Definitely.
But again, it's looking at intimacy. I've got a script that's a short I wrote a while ago. I originally wrote it for a BBC thing, and I might make it for something else because I've got the rights back. But one of the key parts in that is it's got a kiss in it. But the thing I focused on is the moment before the
when
kiss.
When they part and there's all those strands of... no. You know, when there's all those strands
it's,
of no, flop.
No, it's the moment before the kiss, because that's so much more intimate. If you think about your teenage years, or when you, or even just any years when there's a girl that you like, the nerves of the moments that you're cuddling up or whatever, or you're edging closer, and you're thinking your head's moving closer or whatever else. Those moments are the fucking most intimate and electric bits. The kissing is a wicked end result, but that's not the most intimate bit. That's the bit where you know. Or the risk is gone as such. You know it's working.
So
it's that scary, that intimacy of that moment of building up to
it. I completely agree with this. And I'm going to really drag it down into the gutter now.
Go on.
But it's the same. Mm-hmm. Anticipation towards reward. Like, so when I watch pornography, I don't really... when I watch it, I don't really... Like, the act... is less sensual for me mm-hmm. than the story before it. So yeah. when I ever watch porn, I need a prelude and I need to see the start of the result.
Yeah, I see.
That's the end. And it's really it's weird to see it's, that it's, because I don't really want to see someone just fucking someone. Like I kind of like the idea of whether or not you're having a normal sexual story, or one that has got a kind of fetish. So it yeah. might be some kind of submissive kind of way, or it might be really kinky. Like I kind of like the idea of for me the sexual premise. Mm. And the thing is, if you want to purify that instead of drag it into the gutter like I often do, it's like there's something beautiful about the relationship you have before your first kiss, like that yeah. nervous tension.
Yeah. I believe
and the sadness, I think, in many relationships in modern day, Pip, is that I've had girlfriends ask this to me before when I say hello in the morning. They're like, why are you acting like you don't know me? And it's like, well, I obviously don't. But no, genuinely, like...
Well, I can't remember your name.
Refresh your relationship consistently.
Yeah.
Make it new all the time, because then you get that... When you get close to someone and you feel the electricity, mm-hmm. always try it, and that is it. Like, make that your goal. Make it so that when you touch each other, it feels electric. And it doesn't matter how long you've been dating, and I don't care how long you've been with someone who's listening to this, you're just giving up on it. Make yeah. yourself feel electric when you touch your partner.
And it's fascinating, because this is a conversation that probably will be making a lot of people feel uncomfortable. And we're a bit drunk, yeah, so it's even drunk. More uncomfortable. But I think it's completely true. And I don't believe in any kind of kink shaming or shaming of whatever you're into. And that approach to pornography or whatever, it's that kind of thing should be more openly discussed.
Yeah.
For me, it's similar, but it will be, I'll hunt around for ages to find the right thing.
Yeah.
And then in a way, that's putting value on your... On your release as such, to kind of go, it's similar to saying I need to see the story. I'm not so much that, but it is that it's like I need to find the right moment and the right story and the right situation rather than... And it's weird because it goes back to the beginning of this podcast when we were talking about how different guys have a different approach to how they piss at a urinal or wipe their ass. But I've mentioned this before to another mate of ours, and he was like, oh no, I'm very much... I just want to get it over and done with.
Get to the pounding.
Find something, bang, it's done. And it's different approaches to that. So it's, it's a weird
one. God bless them.
But you couldn't, you know, enjoy these beautifully crafted stories while your willy was broken. And
no.
Just, I mean, let's kind of, I think we've been talking on this for roughly half an hour now. So just let's give people an ending of some sort. Is it resolved now, or are you on the mend?
After like, Yeah, yeah. It's
been a long time, though. It's been like, let's not exaggerate. It's been a good few months, right?
Yeah, no, it's been like 5 months of our relationship. Well, no, I think we've done it, but I think maybe a month in when we thought it was done, we'll give it a go. And it was a great fuck. It was really like, it was 10 out of 10.
Okay. But even when you say so myself.
Well, for me, it was. Yeah. But it reopened everything.
Oh, mate, that's not...
I'm sorry for anyone who has to go through that, but gutted. There's nothing I can say. So no, I don't want to soothe it. It's not good.
It's not. It'll be all healed up in no time, though.
Do you know
right?
what, and though? On the other side, exactly what I'm saying is that just you can draw out sex. You can rule that out and get to know someone.
I think a celibacy is an interesting thing 100%. Anyway. When I was single, and not that I've got people throwing themselves at me, but I'm a believer in people having their own sexual independence. And if you're single and grown up, if you choose to engage, then you have a right to. There shouldn't be any judgment of society of, are you a slut or you're a player or, mm-hmm. or any of these other things. But equally, I'd go through periods where I'd go, right, no, I'm going to have a period of celibacy.
Yeah, I wanted to beat your head in sometimes.
You hated me at that point because I had some options on the table. But I think I think those kind of things are powerful, and it teaches you stuff and clears your mind in certain ways. I kind of forgotten that we'd discussed it, but I do think,
totally.
As male or female, sex, the way it's portrayed in society and in film, can be such a priority. So to remove that, it's weird to liken it to what I was saying hours ago about removing the choice of colour of pants.
100%.
But to remove that, it clears your mind and clears your focus to go, right, I'm not going to be getting to 8 o'clock and going, oh, who's about? Who can I chase?
I don't know anyone who's still listening that's going to bang it back to that. But that's a great thing about talking as a friend.
Basically, Stuart
and
Lee.
Like, whoever is going to be here, whoever's going to be talking about this and listening to this is going to draw those same comparisons to people. Yeah. At some point, they're going to go, yeah, that makes 100%
it's
sense.
It's interesting, man, to remove the things that can be fog your vision or cloud your vision or become an overwhelming drive. It can really, open things up. So what should we talk about for the last 15 minutes?
So how are we going to end this? It's a tough one.
Have you watched any good TV this year? I've got things that jump
Jesus
out.
Christ, right. TV, Annihilation, I really liked.
I enjoyed Annihilation. I mean, it's a film.
Yeah, what did we say? TV, it's on Netflix,
It's on Netflix, that's it. I mean, that's under the films. Annihilation was good fun.
Yeah.
That's the guy who did Ex Machina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's fantastic. He's an absolute a beast.
Ex Machina was brilliant. Yeah, I didn't like the payoff in Act 3. And weirdly, I didn't enjoy the payoff in Act 3 of Sawyer.
Of Annihilation. You're burping a lot.
Burping a lot. But the sci-fi concepts in both of those are great.
Yeah, I agree.
Ex Machina, it's been done before in many, many ways, but it was executed perfectly.
Perfectly.
And then Act 3, I kind of... it's weird, he's an Act 3 ruiner for me. And in many sci-fi films, like... what's that one? It was Cloverfield where they were underground.
Yep. 10 Cloverfield
Lane.
10
Cloverfield Lane. Right, so forget it's Cloverfield because that was just money that made that Cloverfield. So forget it's got anything to do with Cloverfield.
I kind of enjoyed that about it, that it constantly had that fear hanging over it, but it was essentially are these people kidnapped? Are they rescued? It was,
yes.
It added the mystery,
I guess, it did, but really but it wasn't the script film. Was strong enough to not be attached to it. And yet in the third act of that, I liked the alien payoff.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. In the third act of both of...
Do you think the alien payoff would have had the same value if it wasn't part of the Cloverfield franchise?
To me, it didn't matter.
It's something that Stuart Lee does a lot, is informing you of the punchline well ahead of the punchline so that you have that anticipation throughout in the lead up to it.
Actually,
I think it's kind of similar on Cloverfield.
Well, in any movie, in any movie, you should always, in the first, first 5-10 pages, establish what genre you're going for. And I guess that even before the first 5 pages, you've said it's Cloverfield, so you're saying it's sci-fi.
It's what I think is good, because I think M. Night Shyamalan, is it Shyamalan? I can't think. But he kind of, because he was the king of the real twist, he kind of made that seem as if that's the only way to make films. And I think at times, there's been proven studies that the whole spoiler thing, at times spoilers can heighten your enjoyment of a film because you're waiting for something that then is held off. And that makes it that ups the excitement. If you don't know you're waiting for it, you don't have that tension. And I think that kind of worked on Cloverfield Lane because you're like, it's Cloverfield, right? And then just at the point, it's like in Swingers where he talks about how just at the point Bingo. You stop wanting someone that's broke up with you, that's when they'll hit you up and come back. It's just the point you've got over them is when they'll pull you back. And it was similar in Cloverfield Lane where just at the point you've stepped away from that, then it goes, oh, by the way, Cloverfield, remember? And you're like, oh, fuck, of course.
Yeah.
So it allows you to have that tension and not the payoff. And then and just as you stop, it goes bang.
So I think you really did that justice there.
It was all right, wasn't it?
And I think that I think that what annoys me, well, not it doesn't annoy me, it's just that not everyone's a big sci-fi cunt. Mm-hmm. So for me, when it ended, I was like, brilliant.
And there's the quote, John Harris. What annoys me is not everyone's a big sci-fi cunt.
It's like
Chris Grusson.
I understand that, and I understand that build-up. But then you get to that point, and you're like, well done, because that was tough.
Yeah.
To spend that long in a basement and then do all that alien shit.
Yeah, man.
But there's so many people. This is the Game of Thrones problem.
Yep.
But they had so many hours to get you to the point where there's a dragon there.
Yeah.
And I like that because they've spent so long. They've groomed non-fantasy fans.
Yeah.
To like fantasy.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have that. Like if the fans who would
say,
kid,
the fans who would say, oh, fuck off, no, it's dragons.
But they're the fans that when they were young, their dads and mums weren't fantasy fiction listeners or watchers. They weren't watching that TV. They were probably big into sport. And now they've finally seen that there's something beyond reality that is worth watching. But if you don't get that, it's boring, it's horrible, it's annoying. You jump the shark, you don't want to know what it's about. It's stupid, it's ridiculous. Yeah, but once you can burst that little membrane of it's not being real, only just a little bit, life is great. And you're totally right.
I love that. That allowance of disconnection to allow you to actually enjoy it. To get into it, to not go, well, that's not realistic. And it's tough as soon as you start writing scripts or working in anything that's in that world, you start to go, well, that's not. It's what I've loved. I've had a few people on the podcast this year with Brad's, fucking hell, I'm drunk. But he made American Animals. And it's fantastic because
it's
a really good film. And it's... The fact is, it's based on a true story. So remove that need to go, is this realistic? Is this right? Is this... Because he's got the beats of reality to work to. And it's been amazing to talk to people and go, how freeing is that? When you may have written some fictional scripts, but you're like, oh, I'm not sure, I should maybe move this to here to have reality to work from. And same with Stephen Merchant in his new one. He's got... a reality to fall back on. So he can't just go, oh no, we need to, it'd be better if this happened here or this happened there. It's like, no, that's not how it happened.
Yeah.
So that's what I need to do. I'm going to have a wee and you're going to have a look at, do you want a film's coming out next year or questions from Facebook?
Questions.
Right. I'll get you to the questions.
I'll answer one while you're having a wee.
You can answer one and choose whichever ones we want. So, are we there? Just scroll right, and I've got them all as photos.
Okay. Oh my god! Right, I scrolled right, and I saw Pip's dick. Did you know? Question: Pip's got a Prince Albert. Okay, here's some questions. He literally looked really scary there. He was worried. Any films that you wanted to see this year but didn't? Oh no, sorry, beg your pardon. We've read that one. Okay, okay, okay. What horrors lie in store for 2019? But also, what do we have to look forward to? And that was by Christopher Noel. Noel, yeah. What horrors do we have lying in store for 2019? And what have we got to look forward to? Well, I don't think we haven't said anything yet, unless he said on another podcast. But me and Pip have written a prediction of our future, and we've made a television series out of it. But that involves a lot of our fears of the future.
I finished.
If you had a wee, mate.
It's a long one.
So Chris Noel said, what are our fears of 2019 and also what are our hopes of it?
All right.
Well, that kind of... what have you said?
So I said, well, we've written something that...
That's what I was going to say. We've not mentioned it, but that's one of the most exciting things going on at the moment. Is that
so we're kind of fucking pissed now, but we've written something, right?
I'm really excited about it. I think it could be a really genuinely good and big series. It's been a weird year because there's been a project I've been working on with Stu in the Pod Bible, and there's been a project I've been working on with you in a script that are completely separate. And in general, the club night, all three of us kind of work on, the Hardcore Listening and Drunk Cast, all three of us work on. It's been weird to have two things I'm excited about that are separate and in their own world. But yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? Because it feels... I've written a few scripts and a few series. When I sent our script to my agent, in the email I said, look, the previous scripts I've sent him that are being developed by Warp and things like that, I'm like, I think artistically I have great credit, but I can see them as one, maybe two, maybe three series. Whereas the script that we're working on, I can see as being a franchise, as this huge, amazing thing, and artistically as strong as anything else I've ever kind of worked.
Yeah, it can be.
We have to be all mysterious here, but it's fucking exciting. Yeah, because
we can't give any quick setups, and it has got a really. I could give you a quick setup in a sentence, but we can't do that. It's got world appeal, and it's got not world appeal in a way that is. Well, it is catchy, but it's going to make you think and make you consider the luxuries you have now.
Yeah.
I think.
It's exciting, man. And it's a scary one because I'm aware, and maybe slightly more so than you, just because of a few experiences of closer friends, of how slow TV and production and things like that can be. And the thing that, although we have to accept that things are slow, the project that we're working on, it feels like it needs to happen immediately.
Yeah.
In our minds, it's like, we need to start it tomorrow. Like, it's literally, it's that exciting. But
it's a combination.
I'm aware
of,
that things like a Taboo took Tom Hardy's 7 years to get made. And that feels like it wouldn't work with the thing that we're working on because it's so current and modern and new. But I'm also aware that there might be a middle ground somewhere that we want it. As you know, I had a series option by Warp, and I was so excited. And it got optioned immediately, it got a lot of hype, and then it hit a bit of a wall. So it's kind of that one bit of experience, knowing that it might not be straight away, but we need to make sure it's not a long gap or a long period, and it's fucking exciting, isn't it,
100% think that. I mean, even writing...
And this is probably conversations that we should be having privately, but let's keep it drunk and mysterious.
And, well, you know, we've not given any plot devices, but when we put all our... We started writing characters because we knew what we wanted.
Yeah.
And we wrote characters and scenes, and then we cut them together.
Yeah.
We were worried that cutting it together would be really bad.
Yeah.
But the first draft I read, I'm quite critical, and I thought, oh, man, I'd 100% watch that.
It got us crazy excited because as we've talked about the tough a year that you've had, there was a period, understandably, where you were kind of off the grid a bit.
Yeah.
And I got a load written in that time. And as soon as you came back on the grid, you got a load written. And then I was like, right, I'll put them together. I'll cut them together. I'll find these characters. I'll make it all work. And I was prepared for that cut together to be a bit of a mess. And I didn't want to overhype it. I didn't say much when I sent it to you. I was just like, here's my first thing. But I was exactly that. I was like, I think this reads, obviously we've done a load of work since, but I was like, this reads as finished now.
Weirdly, you said to me, you said, just read it and don't overly do my normal thing of like trying to destroy it.
Yeah.
So I did. Yeah. And it flowed really good. Like when I finished reading that, I was like, oh man, I really get that. And
I'm big on, I put things onto my iPad and then I go and read it somewhere that isn't my house. And it's what I've had to do. I learned how to, do a music. If Dan sent me some beats, I needed to put headphones on and go for a walk. Because if I listen to them at home, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that works. I don't know if that works. If I just go out of my house, I'm listening to it as a fan rather than as a creator. And I feel that as similarly on this, as we're collaborating on it, it felt important to say, look, forget that you're part of this. Read this as just a thing that you found almost kind of thing and try and just take on that excitement of
have
it,
a go at it.
Rather than, I'm not sure if that works or, this, that.
I think that's a beautiful thing. And, man, I think
it's exciting, isn't it? If it happens, it
really
exciting.
Does. Yeah, it really is exciting. I've watched many sci-fi things. One of the things I didn't say about tonight is, like, YouTube's got a premium channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've done a really good job. Like, Origin is a really... It's decent. If ever I got a screenplay, and to be honest with you, I think it's kind of... it's not easy. I think they've done well. But if I ever get something put up there on YouTube Origins, I'd be so happy. Because what they did with Origin, their first one, is fucking spectacular.
It's interesting, man, because it's an ever-changing climate. I think... at this time next year, when we're doing the Drunk Cast a year roundup, just because of a few of the things I've auditioned for, iTunes are going to be an iconic or one of the big providers and producers of new TV and a Netflix type thing. Because there's been a few things I've read scripts for that are for iTunes on their new platform that are fucking amazing. And YouTube Red as well. And are their kind of subscription thing. It's a fascinating and exciting thing how much it's all changing. It's also been an interesting year. I'd say quite publicly that the podcast, I get more out of the podcast than any of the listeners because I get to talk to these writers and directors and learn from them and engage and build contacts. I mean, there's potentially...
So what's the biggest thing you've learnt then?
The biggest thing that's happened is there's potentially a project I might be working on in the new year in as early as January or February that has come purely because of a podcast. It's someone I wouldn't have met other than the podcast that we've hit it off and we're discussing me acting in a project of theirs. And I won't go into any more detail, but what has been interesting, and it's interesting to our project in particular, is a thing I learned with the thing I've written with Warp is that people like Shane Meadows, who's one of my favourite of all time, always has 3, 4, 5 projects on the go. Here's the stuff that might land, aware that sometimes it's a timing thing, sometimes it's a timing of talent, of production, of tone, of all these different things. Right, it might have to be on the wall. But, and that's what I kind of got in my head, and that's why, even though this thing was in production, I was like, I want to write this project that we've got going, I've got a couple of other things I want to write. But then I spoke to Boots Riley, and he made Sorry to Bother You. And I was like, how did a debut writer and director get to make a film that's so fucking out there and boundary pushing and bonkers? You'd think he'd have to do a few things to get the respect and then have the free rein to go mad. And he said, well, no, I wasn't trying to make films. I was trying to make this film.
That was it.
This was what I wanted to make. It wasn't that I wanted to be a director or a writer. I wanted to make this. And it's such a conflict of approaches because it's that thing of awareness that in the film and TV industry, so much of it is out of your control. Yeah. It's in the hands of producers, of commissioners, of all these things. But then equally to hear Boots go, oh no, it was never a conversation of I'll write something else and we'll try and get that made and then we'll get to make Sorry to Bother You. This was what I needed to make. And that was kind of, fuck, that's mind-blowing. And scary. And odd. But yeah.
Bloody hell, mate.
Exciting. But I've had tons of them. I've genuinely, speaking, I'd say this year, Boots and David Lowry jump out as two. And Michaela Cole is always exciting to talk to because I think she's someone who's going out there and doing her own thing. And it was exciting to have spoken to her a year and a half ago and then watched her go and build her own brand and decide what she's doing and then talk to her again and go, so this is interesting, isn't it? Because you went off and got some love in America and then went, nah, let's make stuff I want to make in Britain and Europe stuff that's great. And rather than the simple thing of the goal is Hollywood. And Vicky McClure was a prime example of that because she's been killing it for years. And she said, my goal has never been just to go off and do Hollywood. That's why she's done This Is England and Line of Duty and all these amazing things because she's like, I want to make good stuff. That doesn't, if it's in Hollywood, cool. But Hollywood isn't the goal. It's the quality of the material. So that's fascinating.
Jesus Christ, mate. Well, hopefully Vicky McClure will star in our movies.
I've got her in mind as that one. Susan. Imagine. Vicky or Lena Headey. Imagine either of them.
No, ridiculous.
I've only said a name. I've not given anything away.
Imagine either of them
in that role. So good. Fucking kill it.
What we got to finish on, mate? I need to piss.
Who's the most famous person to do a poo in Stu's house? And I think a lot of your guests have done poos. Did Ed Skrein do a poo?
The first podcast we recorded, I was taking a shit when they walked in. And that was like, as they walked in the front door, I was 1 foot away from them. And Stu went, Chris, say hello to Luke. And Luke knocked on the door. And we were like a foot away from each other while we took a shit.
Amazing. Ed didn't
take a shit about that. Have you seen Tao?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Decent.
Good.
Yeah,
it's decent. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, decent. Yeah. Who's above average?
Yeah. His new one, Attila. It looks amazing. That's out in the new year. In fact, I had it on that picture just now.
That's the anime conversion.
Alita, sorry.
Of course, Alita.
Alita Battle Angel
Battle Angel. Amazing. It's an anime. And it's a play on that. And I'm really not sure. It was really hard on how to make her look conceivable.
I think it looks great. The way they've CGI'd her to have massive anime-style eyes.
I don't like it.
A live-action thing. I think it looks great. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works in the film.
I need to watch it more. I don't know if it's been rendered.
Excited me in the trailer because I'm like, I've never seen an anime conversion where they've bothered doing anything like that. They've generally gone, it's real life now.
I think they need to.
Yeah.
But besides that, it's a Ridley Scott one. Mm-hmm. When I was speaking to Ed, when he invited me to his fucking set,
that was one of the best
things I ever went to. He said he was on board with that. I hope it is. He looks the shit in that. I think he's going to get his ass beat down in it.
Yeah,
but I think he was great in that. I think he was great in town. Yeah, so definitely.
We will end on a question from a Philip Cable Q, and this is because I know something that's been a large part of the time that we've had to interact in this year. His question is, a quick in and out team death match or a slow play last man standing battle royale style game?
And what, for all of us against each other?
So what would we prefer as individuals or team? We've played a fair bit of Player Unknown Battleground this year.
We have.
And I downloaded it. I was like, mate, it was before Fortnite happened. And it was just, it's one of those, Mark Miller is known as someone who's king of the simple idea, of the idea that someone should have already thought of in Kick-Ass and things like that. There's so many different things where he's like, obviously, that's amazing. And Battle Royale or Player Unknown was exactly that. It's like, it's just, you land on an island and there's 100 of you and you've not got any weapons and there's weapons hidden and it's the last man standing. It's so simple but amazing. And I invited you and Irvine round and we had a first night of playing that for a few hours. And since then, if we're having a script meeting, I will tend to finish the script meeting triumphantly and go, should we have a quick go on Player Unknown?
Yeah, blast on that.
or we'll be watching a film, we'll be like, should we have a quick
But we will watch either of us fail on it. Yeah. As a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
We can't play these games anymore.
At that first night, you were infuriated regularly, because I'm a softly catchy monkey guy. I'll definitely hide, and then, you know, I've got to the final five or so without killing a single person, infuriates you.
Yeah, because I want to get there from busting it up.
From killing everyone.
Yeah, like, so, also, weirdly, it's just because I want to get into the last 80 through shooting people in the fucking face. So when I get into that last one, when I'm really good, I know how to handle my business.
Mate.
You're handling your business is learning how to hide.
Right.
And actually, that's a skill in itself.
And they've updated it, and there's a few different kinds of landscape. And in different landscapes, there's a few different kinds of weapons. And it's been killing me, because each time I land on the kind of landscape that's a bit Hawaiian, kind of huts and stuff like that, there's some weapons that I've grabbed that I've never seen. There's one called a mutant. And there's all sorts of weird shit. And I've got the mutant and like an 8x scope and shit like that. And every time I've got that, I've got killed before I've used it.
Yeah.
So I've got, there's a QBU and a QB, or no, a QBM maybe as well. And then these weapons look amazing. But every time I've got one of them cool as fuck weapons, I've not found anyone to shoot.
No.
And I've been killed by someone I've not seen yet.
Because you're a CWD coward.
No, but
like, that's why.
No, but I'm
you
trying,
picked up coward.
As soon as I get that weapon, I'm trying to find someone, I swear, because I've not used it before.
Man, you picked up coward when you press play, man. You're like scared about it.
I'm a winner. So at some point before the new year, we need to have our John Carpenter a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
In between each film, we spend half hour on Player Unknown, maximum. As like when people have a sorbet as a palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
So a film, a player on maybe we'll Facebook Live it a bit or Instagram Live it. Mm-hmm. So a film, player unknown, a film, player unknown, and so on.
Yeah, we will, and we're also gonna roll these lovely dice that you bought.
What's this gonna?
We're gonna have a little. We're gonna have some kind of crazy ass game.
They're good,
aren't
they? My theory was
rolling dice.
And my theory is you can keep your dice in there and some cards or some special characters or whatever that you're into.
I appreciate it. We're gonna get Robin on this shit, and we're gonna roll some dice, and you're gonna fall into a rat trap.
I mean, that's some good. That was you rolled five dice. You got two sixes, a four, a three, and a one. That's a solid.
Yeah, that's someone.
So what's that add up to?
10, it adds up to someone 19, who doesn't ever roll dice.
20.
Oh, okay. We're gonna define how D6 works.
A lowest score.
No,
sucks.
Honestly, no.
Lowest
honestly,
score
like,
sucks the other one's well, dick.
Well, triple one.
Three.
You got a triple one. You've literally got sucked my dick. You've got to take a picture of this. Screamiest Pip is gonna suck my dick. Oh my god!
How
ridiculous.
Did I get three ones? I got a four and a six as well,
ones.
But
just roll three ones. Screamiest Pip, suck my dick.
Take
here
a photo
go.
Of that. We can move that one up there so you can see it.
Oh man, that's ridiculous,
mate. How did I get out of five, three of them are ones. Well,
welcome to D6.
I've got some dick to suck. So. Thank you very much for tuning in. Check out the Hardcore Listing podcast. I'm sure there'll be some end of year madness. I'll be back next week with my films of the year episode, and then my first guest of the year is going to be probably Eddie Marsden, Eddie Marsan, and then Joel Egerton.
Wow,
that was great, man. Oh, that was another one where we just hit it off. It's madness.
Holy shit, Joel Egerton.
Yeah, it was great. He's such a dude. He's such a good guy. He's as charming as you'd imagine. Anyway, let's wrap things up. This should be coming out in the new year, so happy new year. And on with the podcasts. Ta-ta!
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. There are four parts of the Distraction Pieces podcast, Drunkcast 2018. I hope you enjoyed them. And if you didn't, then, as I said before, at least you know it's all up from here in 2019. You've started at a real low, and now it's all going to get better. Starting with next week's Films of the Year podcast. So that's going to be great. I hope you all enjoy that. Go over to patreon.com/ScroobiusPip now to hear the Drunkcast Hangover that I recorded. And as said, in the new year, I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff on Patreon. Just little bonus things. Originally, I wasn't going to do anything on there, but as you would have heard on part one, I've fallen in love with it over there a bit. So I'm going to be doing a thing called the Distraction Pieces Podcast Rewind, where I kind of go over old podcasts and reflect upon them. I'm going to be doing a spoken word piece that I record and put out each month. And yeah, that's what's going to be going on over there. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm hoping that at some point really soon I'm going to be able to announce this new bit of merch, because it's so dope. If I haven't announced it already, I'm recording this well in advance, but my predictions are I won't have this new merch until the new year now. So yeah, we shall see. Anyway, thank you for suffering through this and suffering all the way to the end of the outro. I will continue to see you in the new year. I've got some amazing guests. And yeah, have a good one. Happy New Year, guys. Ta-ta.
There we go. Hello.
You're
right. Oh, so, welcome. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Yeah, you all right, Mum?
Yeah, not too bad, dear.
So, yeah, so this is our new next episode of Hardcore Listening with Chris and Stu and my lovely mum and dad. We just tried recording a little bit, didn't we? Tried doing a little video.
I don't know if you call it a recording session or just a hilarious about the word.
What was we trying to do?
Well, I think, you know, if you could do any more podcasts with us, right, yeah, we need to lay a few ground rules down.
Okay, right.
Firstly, do we get paid?
You get paid in the sunshine that I spread around the room when I come in it.
So you're saying Jane's not going to earn as much money as I am then?
Yeah, I'll speak to you separately.
Well, I don't want no rares after this.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, Dad, if I was going to pay anyone going on the last one, Mum would be on a higher wage than you, I think. Because you couldn't get any of the lines right. But us recording this video a minute ago, Mum couldn't remember one line, could she?
Well, you think she's a fast learner?
Well, no.
Her learning curve goes zoom.
It's just she's better at reading than you are, I think, was more the problem.
Probably right there. I've got double vision.
Right.
Now, talking about Jean.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be embarrassing circumstances here.
What's that?
Jean gets a bit jealous.
Alright. Okay, right? Yeah.
And if somebody's going to make my face up, it's going to have to be Jean, because she doesn't like other women touching me.
Okay, sure. Right, no problem.
Right?
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Who's producing?
Yeah. Who's producing? 76, our producer. He'll be producing this.
76?
Yeah, that's his name. That's his producing name.
Doesn't he have a more conventional name?
He does. His name's Stuart, actually. Dad, the
conventional. Hi, Stuart.
Okay.
76.
What were your queries about production then, Dad?
Production? It really comes down to how much experience he's had.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Is he polished? Does he know what he's doing?
He's getting there. He has to work with me and Stuart, other Stuart, who mm-hmm. I record this with. So he has hard work making that sound good, I think.
Right, and haven't got the latest equipment to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so, mate. Yeah.
I don't know whether I want to research Stuart's background a bit more, or perhaps I'll leave that to another.
Well, you've got plenty of time on your hands, mate. Feel free to do that.
I don't know. I'm struggling a bit here. I've just got to think before I speak, because I don't want to find myself on the end of a lawsuit if this is going worldwide. You mustn't understand it for a start.
No. How are you, Mum? Anyway, are you all right? Yeah, you can't hear you when you just nod.
Yes, dear, I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
sorry I'm not, you know, helping you very much.
You're fine. You did amazing in the video, to be quite honest with you.
Did Stuart make any money out of this?
No one really makes a great deal of money out of this, Dad.
Well, how do we live? How do we earn a living then?
Well, you're not getting paid for it. That's how we'll make some money, I guess. That'll be the predominant thing. So, anyway, who is this week's podcast with? Can you remember?
Podcast 74.
No, his name's 76. Who's our star today? Who are me and Stuart interviewing?
Bill, obviously.
William Glasson, yeah? And yep. Gene Glasson. But who are you doing an introduction for?
Hang on, you're missing the point. You're supposed to be reading from the script.
Well, not today. I thought we'd ad-lib it a little bit.
I've been writing all this lockdown.
You've got 5 words on an iPad.
Yeah, really. So this is going to be virtually unscripted, is it?
Well, yeah, it's just a conversation. Yeah, that's how our podcasts go. Just conversations.
Just a straight yap-up.
Just the yap-up, mate, yeah.
There's an awful lot of good words from thrown in here. And what's annoying me is I'm doing it for nothing. Last thing, really.
Right, yeah.
Is this all tied up contract-wise? If this goes viral,
yeah.
Right, I want to make sure before I put my signature to it that it's done properly. Because I am 78, you know.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't think things are clearly. So when you do the contract, I don't want no small type.
Okay, sure. I'll do big letters saying there is no contract. This is highly unlikely to go viral.
I probably ought to ring off now because you're getting upset with me.
Are we going to introduce actually who is the podcast that we're having today? Who me and Stuart are doing it with?
You got any ideas? Yes, I have.
Gene and Bill Glasson.
Yeah, no, but this is the intro. Oh. Right, the actual podcast that me and Stuart did an interview with was who?
Right, Saucy George.
Yeah, okay, well done. Can you remember who it's with, Mum, as well?
Saucy George,
yeah. My fictitious aside. You might have to look that up in the dictionary.
Okay, fictitious aside. It's with Dr. Susie Gage, who's also on the network. Dr. Susie Gage.
Susie Gage.
That's right, yeah.
Not Susie George.
No, but jokingly, Saucy George.
Better known than Susie Gage.
Oh, right, okay, well, she'll hear that, so I'm sure she'll be thrilled with that.
Has she passed herself off as a doctor, or is she really a doctor?
She's legit a doctor.
Legit. Well, she's a medical doctor.
Medical, or? Yeah, I think, yeah, she's, yeah.
You remember what time served? 5 years and all that sort of business?
Yeah, she's all legit.
Because there's a lot of dodgy diseases about now, you know.
There are. I don't know if Susie's one of them.
Oh,
I'm pretty certain she's not a geezer.
Not really.
No. And she's doing top 5 BBC comedies.
Top 5 BBC comedies?
Yeah, so what's your favourite BBC comedies, Mum?
Just thinking, really.
Okay.
I like the one with the man in the glasses.
The man with the glasses.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, the Ronnies.
He makes out he's a woman. The mother of the family.
Mrs. Brown. Oh, do you like Mrs. Brown? Of course you do.
I think that's brilliant.
Oh, you like that one, do you?
I do like that show.
Any other ones?
I like the way they're laughing at something they shouldn't really be laughing at.
Okay, what, because it's
they
a bit rude.
They their own things because they,
They corpse. They end up laughing. They break character because they find it. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Very good.
Corpsing. Corpsing is when you break character during acting.
We don't do dying and corpsing.
No. It's just called corpsing. It's when you break character and you start laughing when you're supposed to be being acting. Any others?
British comedy.
Yeah.
Well, British comedy has taken a dive since the days of It Ain't Half Hot Mum.
Oh, it's taken a dive since then.
Yeah, there's no real good soaps, short soaps, apart from Mrs. Brown's Voice.
Right, okay.
The demise of Morecambe and Wise and Abbott and Costello. Now, there's one for you.
Abbott and Costello, right. How about The Office? Did you like that with Ricky Gervais?
No.
He does his silly arm movement.
Can't stand him.
Struggling swan, pure water.
What? Yeah. How about Tony Fools and Horses, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fools and Horses was great.
Alan Partridge, did you ever like that?
No. Never no. wrong with Alan. He no. had a character. What was his character?
No, that is his character.
My name is Alan Partridge.
Yeah, that's it. It's Steve Coogan's the actor.
Steve Coogan's the actor.
Yeah,
he did well in a film, didn't he, recently?
Yeah, he got
an Oscar for it.
Yeah, he's done some bits and pieces. I don't know if he's had an Oscar, but yeah.
He did, he got an Oscar.
All guesswork.
Yeah.
Right, well, with that said, here's the wonderful podcast with Dr. Susie Gage. It is top five BBC comedies. We've been waiting to do this for a long time with Susie, so we hope you guys enjoy it. Big shout out to 76 or 74, as Dad has now called you. We'll be chatting later, Stu, just to make sure that... well, my dad will be in touch, from the sounds of things. Any last words? Any last wise words? Mum, what would you like to leave the audience with?
Is that working?
Yes.
It's not moving.
No, it wouldn't move. No.
Well, no, I don't mean physically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no dials or...
Yeah, it's all digital these days.
Is that yours?
There's no digital on there.
Yeah.
Expensive.
Yeah, quite expensive. Mm-hmm. It's mine and Stuart's, yeah. That's what we're leaving on. Okay, right, cool. Well, Dad, pleasure. Mum, pleasure. Thank you very much. And we might record a couple more little intros. Bye-bye.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.